receive the sacrament of the altar. But it is also a document that teaches the truth and hope of salvation through the Holy Scriptures. So I encourage you to please turn to page 329 if you want to follow along with the questions. I will be stating them. This evening we will concentrate on questions 7, 8, and 9. Page 329. 7, 8, and 9. Teaching the truth of the Holy Scriptures matters, because the Holy Scriptures reveal to you certain truths that cannot be changed in any way. In other words, scriptural definitions matter. Last week, we concluded with the confession of who it is that you trust in for salvation, question 6. And the only answer to such a question is Jesus Christ. Scriptural definitions matter. Another way of putting it is doctrine matters. Doctrine is what the Holy Scripture contains. It is the teaching of Holy Scripture. That there is a heaven above is a doctrine. It means there's a doctrine of heaven, because the Holy Scriptures teach on heaven. That there is a hell below is a doctrine, the doctrine of hell, because the Holy Scriptures teach on hell. The doctrine of man is found in the Holy Scriptures, because the Holy Scriptures teach of mankind. So question 7 of Christian questions with their answers, who is Christ, is extremely important, because it brings the Holy Scriptures doctrine or teaching of Christ into the question. For what good is it to confess that you trust in Christ for salvation if it's believed that Christ is simply a nice guy who came and did some nice things just to be an inspiration to you, to show you how to live in order to get into heaven? By the way, that would turn Christ into nothing but law, with no gospel accomplished for you. What good is it to confess that you trust in Christ for salvation if it's believed that Christ is simply a God among the many other gods that are falsely put forth as offering salvation, but only by your works of satisfaction? What good is it to confess Christ, to confess that you trust in Christ for salvation, if it's believed that Christ wasn't really fleshly like the rest of man? He was a different kind of heavenly being. In other words, my friends, doctrine or scriptural teachings matter. Luther's words within Christian questions with their answers are blessed to supply the scriptural doctrine and direction, thus teaching and feeding faith with the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Thus, the answer to who is Christ can only be the scriptural answer: the Son of God, true God and man. Why is it so important that Christ be defined as the Son of God, true God and man? Well, it was necessary for the Savior of the world to be true God, that his fulfilling of the law might be sufficient for all men, that his life and death might be a sufficient ransom for man's redemption, that he, as only true God could do, might be able to overcome death and the devil for you. It was necessary for the Savior of the world to be true man, that he might take man's place on under the law, that he might be able to suffer and die in the place of man. Now take away all the mites, because he did it. He accomplished it. All of those things for you. So from this blessed truth of the Holy Scriptures flows forth question 8. How many gods are there? Yet again, an extremely important doctrinal teaching that only the Holy Scriptures properly reveals. For again, what good is it to confess God if he can be anything that you want him to be? God is not what people make him out to be. He's not just a spirit floating around somewhere out there, waiting to be nice to some people or mean to others. It's not just a matter of believing only in Jesus Christ, either. The sending of the Son was from the Father. The sending of the Holy Spirit was from the Father and the Son. The Spirit continually points to the Son, and the Son continually points to the Father. The Holy Trinity is always at work, never separating. And friends, God defines himself as he spoke and continues to speak through the Holy Scriptures. And thus, Luther supplies the doctrine of God in answering the question, how many gods are there? With the doctrinally pure, scripturally pure answer, only one. But there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You confess to this scriptural truth in the office hymn that we sang. We all believe in one true God, a beloved hymn of Luther's that brings the truth of the triune God to be confessed through song. That the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit properly confessed, it only makes sense that Luther would then have the flow of the questioning directed toward the sending of the Son. Why? Because he is the one who makes up the content of the sacrament of the altar. He's the earner of salvation. Question 9 asks, what has Christ done for you? Do you trust in him? Unavoidably, one must confess the crucifixion. One cannot try to sneak by the cross of Christ crucified to be saved by God's doing. Instead, one must face the paradox of God in his glory while hanging on a tree, beaten and bloody. This is what the true fleshly man, Christ Jesus, was terrified of in the Garden of Gethsemane. The true fleshly man, Christ Jesus, trembled at the thought of drinking the cup of wrath that the Father was going to deliver. The true fleshly man, Christ Jesus, wondered if there might be another way. But in your place, he trusted his Father's will for you. What has Christ done for you that you trust in him? The God-man, Christ Jesus, drank the cup of wrath. This is what the Holy Scriptures proclaim the sending of the Son was all about. And again, Luther's supplied answer brings that doctrinally pure confession to your lips as you are prepared to receive what Christ won for you. What has Christ won for you? That you trust in him. He died for you. He shed his blood for you for the forgiveness of sins. That is a Christ-centered preparation for Christ prepared the way for you, the way of dying and rising to new life by faith in his merits alone. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and covered they are by his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.